Every day, there's one more thing. Nobody ever takes anything off our plates. But it's just one more thing, we say. We don't want to disappoint, and we definitely don't want to fall behind. But it's one more weight, one more obligation, one more worry, one more meeting, one more lunch, one more committee,
one more expense,
one more appointment,
one more conversation,
one more post,
one more event,
one more opportunity,
one more gig,
one more project,
one more phone,
one more trip,
one more
emotion,
one more...
Of the Margin series. If we haven't met, my name's Austin. I'm normally at Uptown. I get to be here with you guys this weekend. We're gonna sing a little bit. You cool with that? Yell on key a little bit. Let's stand up. We're gonna do that together, yeah?
Thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh. Man.
I love singing with you guys. Hey, can I share some news with you? I'm pretty excited about this. In like 3 weeks, I'm going to be a dad. Isn't that pretty sweet? Man, that's sweet, man. Yeah, my wife Becca and I, we have been getting the house prepared for our daughter, Everly Joy. Oh, yeah, all the everybody can tell you, we can go, oh. No, yeah, we've been painting the walls, been getting the closet organized, and a couple of weeks ago, I was putting together the crib, which is always a special feat. Yeah. While I was doing that, I kind of had this realization. I was like, you know, I almost didn't have a room. I almost didn't have a room. I'm 26, 1990, around that. My birth mom, she had an unwanted pregnancy. Was really kind of in this place of like, man, I think I want to get an abortion. And at the same time that that was going on, there was also at the same time this adoptive family that was like, we want to prepare our house for, you know, a boy or a girl. I don't care. We just want to prepare our house for a child. And long story short, you know, I'm here. I became a part of this family, which is pretty sweet. But I, you know, I'm not doing that for myself or for applause. But I'm doing it to give you a point here. When I was young, I didn't really understand this. But this whole time, I had had a house that was getting prepared for me, the same way that I was preparing a room for my daughter. God had been preparing a place for me. And I'd seen God at us a lot of things. At one point in time, I even thought he was a lie. But then he became my Savior. And then he became my King. And now I feel like more than ever, I'm seeing him as just a really good Father. He's just a good Father. That's who he is. Let's tell him that, yeah.
Perfect, we sing. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are
call me, as you call.
If there's anything that I know, say you're good. There's a lot that I still have to learn. But if it just came down to that one thing about who you are, it's just you're good. God, I ask that you would teach us something new this morning. You would teach us something fresh, things that we have not even comprehended or even thought about. Amen. Yeah. It's good to sing with you guys, man. Sometimes a guitar just falls out of your hands and you just got to hang out, you know. Hey, do me a favor. Look to somebody to your right or left. Maybe say hey. Give them your name. Get a little bit risky, you know. And when you're done, you can have a seat, all right? Glad you're here.
My name's Jessica. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky, and I'm connected to 15 to 20 people through Crossroads Anywhere.
We're the Coons family.
And we are part of the Rancho Cucamonga Crossroads Anywhere community. And we have about six people who do Crossroads Anywhere with us.
We're Alicia, Avery, and Matt Luce from Atlanta, Georgia.
And we're looking forward to expanding our Crossroads network in the Dirty South.
Thousands of people attend Crossroads every weekend from nearly every state in the country. Hey, my name's Matt Welty. I'm the campus pastor of Crossroads Anywhere, and we believe that church is a team sport. We know that we get the most out of following God and learning more about Him when we do it with other people. So we've made that easier than ever. You can go to crossroads.net/connect and add yourself to the map. That means that people can find you. They can know that you want to be a part of the team, and you can look around the area that you live and find people to attend Crossroads with. You might choose to be a host or find a host. That simply means that you're going to have your home be a place where people can gather around the weekend together. It's a really exciting thing, and we'll make it as easy as possible. We'll send you a kit and walk along that way with you. So head to crossroads.net/connect and get started today. Hey guys, great to have you at Crossroads. We are one church that gathers in multiple locations all over the country. And as you can see from that video, we're really excited because we've created a thing called Crossroads Connect that's gonna help all of us get connected more easily and follow Jesus together. You know, wherever you are in your journey towards God, you're welcome here at Crossroads. One of the incredible things that we all get to do this as a team and learn about ourselves and learn about God together. And so what I want you to do is go to crossroads.net/connect today. And on there, you're gonna see a button called Get Started. That Get Started button is gonna take you to a page where you can add yourself to the map. You might look around the map and see people all over the country. These are Crossroads team members, people who have said, I'm a part of Crossroads and I would love to be doing this with other people. And so you can put yourself on the map and be discoverable, be findable. That's gonna let people reach out to you, ping you. You'll get an email from them that you can respond to or not respond to. And when you do, you start to be in relationship with them. And so you can add yourself to the map and start finding people today. The other really exciting thing that you can do is actually find gatherings of people who are doing Crossroads together, who are watching the weekend, this thing that we're doing right now, together. Those people we call hosts. You can be one of those people, which would be really exciting to us. On that same Get Started page, you can sign up to be a host. That simply means that you're willing to open up your home, use your living room as a place where people can come and gather and attend Crossroads every weekend together. If you sign up to be a host, it's a super simple application process. You'll get in touch with us. We're gonna send you an awesome host kit that helps you get started. We'll coach you through the whole process. It's fun, it's easy, and it's gonna be awesome. We see a day when there's hundreds and hundreds of gatherings all over the country where hosts just like you have opened up their home and created space for people to be a part of Crossroads. It's gonna be absolutely incredible. And so there's already hundreds of people on the map all over the country, and I want you to be one of them. And as you see, when we have people all over the map, this starts to look like a movement, and it's a movement that can do a tremendous amount of good. You know, here in just a couple of weeks, we have an event we call Go Local. It's a national movement, a day where we all serve. There'll be over 8,000 people all over the country serving. There'll be hundreds of projects, and we have projects all over the country. For the first time this year, we've gone outside of the boundaries of Cincinnati and Ohio, and all over the country you can serve. So you can go to crossroads.net/go local. You can put in your location and see if there's an official project in your area, which you can join, which would be awesome. And if there's not, what we would love for you to do is grab your family, grab your friends, grab your group, grab your weekend gathering, whoever it might be, and find a partner, an organization, a school, someone in your neighborhood who you can partner with and serve on that day. That day is May 20th. And you have until Monday, May 8th, to make all that happen. So go to crossroads.net/go local to sign up, to get information and get the cues from us that we can help you get organized and get involved. It's gonna be awesome. All of these things are made possible because there's people like you and me who've decided to give generously to fuel things like developing Crossroads Connect or all the organization required for Go Local. And those two are not the only things that are happening here on Crossroads. While we have a time to be generous now, we're actually gonna watch a video that gives us some insight into a really exciting thing that we call the I'm In campaign. So while we do that, you can go to crossroads.net/give and set up a reoccurring gift or do a one-time gift. If you're brand new, no pressure to do this. We want you to learn about us so you can trust us and follow God. We're glad you're here.
Life can be challenging, and we can see those challenges all around us, in our lives and the lives of our neighbors. But Jesus calls us to freedom. In 2015, our church embarked on a journey, the I'm In campaign, and 14,000 individuals gave sacrificially so our neighbors can understand the peace and freedom that Jesus can bring. Hi, I'm John Mark Outerslice, and I'm a part of the CityLink Center team. I've also been a part of the Crossroads community for over 12 years. Because people are faithfully fulfilling their I'm In commitments, we're able to share the love of Christ with them and help our neighbors in need at CityLink Center. CityLink Center is a bold investment that our community made in order to help those who are struggling in poverty. Over one-third of our neighbors live in poverty, and that's not okay. We've mobilized an army of individuals who invest their time, talent, and treasures alongside 14 of the city's best social service agencies all under one roof. And together, we're working to help our neighbors reach their full potential. The I'm In commitments are fueling our growth in bold new ways. We have new partners who have joined CityLink, like Perscalis, an IT training firm that has individuals prepared through an 8-week class for careers in the IT field. In an amazing way, God has used that training program to prepare individuals to actually work with Crossroads Anywhere, preparing a platform for more people to hear about God in a language that they understand. The biggest chunk of your IMIN investment is going to fuel a new culinary training program. It helped fund a pilot that we conducted and is going to help us to construct a permanent restaurant at Findlay Market, which will serve over 100 clients a year, preparing them for careers in the restaurant industry. Well done, everyone who's fulfilling their commitments. Your sacrifice is making real life change for our neighbors at CityLink Center.
That is so fun, seeing people have a shot of getting to a new place financially, which is what we're about here at CityLink and here at Crossroads. And today, that's what I want to do today. I want to get you today to a new place financially. I want you to get to a place of more margin. Today, we are not talking about giving. In fact, we already took up the offering, so we're not talking about giving at all. There's so many times in the Bible where Jesus and others talk about money, I oftentimes feel a little challenged, like it's almost dereliction of duty for me not talking more about a pinch point in so many of our lives. And that pinch point is not having enough financial margin. So today, I want to give you some things that I've learned, that I've seen in the Bible, that I've experienced, that hopefully is going to help you just sort of enjoy your life more and feel like you have more financial space. Are we okay with this today? We should be. This should be good stuff for us, really. So let's pray before I go any further. God, thank you for being a God who wants to help. You're a God who gives us things that are beneficial for our lives, who gives us opportunities that can alleviate stress. I know a lot of us have that in here right now. We've got financial stress we need alleviated. Others of us, we're doing really well financially, but man, we'd like to even do better. And I thank you, you're a God that cares about the intricacies of each one of our lives. And I pray these things according to the character of the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so deep question. Peanut butter, smooth or crunchy? Who likes smooth peanut butter? Smooth, okay. Who actually has taste buds and likes crunchy? Yes. I'm a big crunchy guy. Every morning I go get my oatmeal, get my blueberries, get my peanut butter. Just the other morning I went and I pulled out of the pantry this little beauty, Jif Extra Crunchy. Come on. Glory, hallelujah. That is good stuff. Now, let me tell you why I had like a moment with God of gratitude right there. Lib had just gone shopping recently. She does all of our grocery shopping. She just gone shopping. And she'd gone to Sam's Club, which is where we go, and got this like value pack. And honestly, it was a moment of thankfulness to God, because I remember when we were first married, we couldn't buy the larger jars of peanut butter. We could only afford the smaller jars. Even though it was greater value, more peanut butter, we couldn't afford those. We used to go and buy the single roll of toilet paper. We couldn't even enjoy the double pack. Now we go to Sam's Club, we get a 16-pack. That's a lot of buttholes, let me tell you right now. It's awesome. So when we can buy that sort of thing, I'm like, God, thank you so much for giving us the financial margin to be able to take advantage of that. I just want to give you some things that we've been able to learn, because I know that if you're normal, family stuff or financial stuff is difficult. And we've been all over the spectrum, and in all over the spectrum, we've been able to find financial margin. It's some of the learnings we've had, people I've mentored who are CEOs and millionaires. Some of the learnings I've had, people I've mentored or personal friends of mine are in crisis poverty situations, and we'll write them checks to get them over humps or something like that. We have all bandwidths of people in our life. We're in a place right now, we've got a lot of financial margin in our lives. We've been in a place where we've had zero financial margin in our lives. When we first got married, Lib had a car payment. I had a car payment. We both had credit card debt. I had payment booklets for television. I had a payment booklet for a VCR. Yeah, took out a payment booklet for a VCR. So we got married. We consolidated our debt. It was called marriage. We consolidated all of our debts into a marriage, and we just couldn't pay the bills. So a few months after we were married, had to do the really unmanly thing of moving in with your in-laws and living in their attic. And living there for some time, and then we finally got the margin that we needed to get our own place, rent our own place, and on it went from there. And the things that I'm going to talk about today are things that we've learned and practiced for 28 years, and I have financial margin now. I also had, I had enough financial margin when we had a family of four making $28,000 a year. Wherever you are, there's a place for you to retain more sanity. What is margin? We've been using this term. We haven't even defined it. Margin is when you read a book, you need some white space. You need some white space around your book to be able to take notes or do whatever you need to do. It's just, you know, it's like, okay, I can breathe. If there was no margin on the book, you would stress out every time you read the book. It would just freak you out. It'd be very, very uncomfortable. This is what it's like in our lives in America. America has been taken from us. It's stolen from us. We are ground down. Everyone's given us an agenda. Everyone's given us more stuff we need to be doing, more stuff we need to be buying, more stuff we need to be involving our lives. And we have zero margin because all of America is about taking from us. This was referred to really well in a statement the first week that Kyle Ransom gave. I think it's worth looking at again. He talked about how Netflix, the CEO of Netflix, was on a third quarter conference call with investors, and some of the investors were saying, hey, Amazon Prime is starting to really increase. Is that going to cut into your profits and decrease our investment? What's that looking like? And Reed Hastings, the CEO of Netflix, said this. He said, well, when you watch a show from Netflix and you get addicted to it, you stay up late at night. You really, well, we're competing with sleep on the margin. And so it's a very large pool of time. What's he saying here? He's saying, no, man, Amazon isn't our competitor. Our competitor is our people are sleeping too much. That's what he's saying. So our strategy is we get better shows and they lose another hour of sleep. Do you understand? They're saying we're so stupid and idiotic, we can't even control ourselves and we will keep binging and we'll cut out sleep. He's saying, no, they got plenty of margin. Every American has plenty. It's called sleep. We're just going to keep cutting into that. That's how bad it has gotten for us. And this is the way it is financially. All of America is about telling you and I that we don't have enough stuff, that we don't have the right stuff, that we need to buy more stuff, that we need to go on better vacations, we need to have better cars, we need to have this, we need to have more. That keeps the economy pumping. And so there's a constant, steady stream that's going to put us into a place where we were always going to be hand-to-mouth. I get nothing out of what I'm talking about today, nothing at all. I'm not selling you anything. I'm not a financial consultant that's kind of giving you some insurance product later. This is just something that God cares about because he cares about you. He cares about you. And here's some things that are in his word and things that we've learned. I'm going to give you eight of them. You're not going to be able to do all eight right away. I do all eight of these things. If you do just one of these things, in fact, if you disagree with seven of them and you keep doing what you're doing right now, but you just do one of these things, you will have more financial margin. Number one, enact a strategy. Enact a strategy. Do you have a way to understand when you get money, where it's going to go? Are you strategically putting and telling your money where it should be going? According to a Gallup poll, only 32% of Americans have a strategy for their money. The fuddy-duddy word for that is budget. That's right. That's why I like the word strategy. I hate budgets. I hate that word. In other words, 68% of all Americans have no strategy about money. No wonder we're frustrated. If we don't have a strategy for what money is supposed to do in our lives, then money is going to take control of us. At Crossroads, we don't have a lot of financial margin at Crossroads. We have about 2 weeks operating cash on hand. We'd love to get to more, do more than that, but actually that's not our strategy right now. We do have a strategy. One of the reasons why we have thin margins is because we do things like Go Local. We're spending $250,000 coming up weekend for Go Local with mulch and paint and we could have a lot more if we just started cutting things out. But we said, no, our strategy is we pray this through. We want to be pushing money out to bless people and push God's stuff forward. By the way, man, we've bought a lot of stuff. You need to get there and start spreading it for us. Please sign up for Go Local. Get on it like pronto. Deadlines are coming up. It's going to be amazing wherever you live. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. Do you have a strategy? Something that tells you, here's how much I'm going to put towards this. Here's how much I'm going to put towards this. One of the most important strategies that Lib and I do is we automate as many things as possible. Automatically suck stuff out of our paycheck and stick it in a savings account that's harder to get to. Automatically pull things out and put it towards here. Automatically have our bills, our mortgage and stuff pulled out as part of our strategy. And then Lib, part of our strategy is she works on a cash basis. She has most of the expenditures in our house. She does the grocery shopping. When there's gifts to buy, she's buying gifts. Or if we go to a movie, she's using that. And so we give her cash, a big wad of cash every time I get paid. And she just goes to the bank, it's a big old wad of cash. And then she uses that cash. And guess what? Here's crazy. When the cash is over, guess what she does? Stop spending. Oh my goodness, you're kidding. You mean you can actually stop spending? Yes, you can. You can actually stop spending. She only used the credit card for gas purchases. I use a credit card. I don't have the same number of expenditures, but when I spend, oh yeah, I spend. I have fewer expenditures, but when I spend, it's big. So our strategy is we talk about those things. I actually have friends who I talk with my finance about. We'll talk about that in a moment. You just have to figure out what is your strategy. You can go to crossroads.net/strategy. We've put together a worksheet for you that you can choose your own strategy. Don't let anyone else tell you what to do. You can choose your own strategy. You can plug numbers into this, make something work. And while you're there, you also see Financial Peace. We're really excited about Financial Peace University. We partner with Dave Ramsey and his organization. Hundreds, maybe thousands of people at Crossroads have been through it right now to give you a customized plan of something that will work for you and give you financial peace, which is margin. 1 Timothy 6:17 says this. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Is this what you expected God to say? Is this what you expect the Bible to say? Some of us might have thought it would say, as for the rich in this present age, charge them to stop making money. No, it doesn't say that. As for the rich in this present age, charge them to start giving more of their fair share. No, it doesn't say that. As for the rich in this present age, charge them to not be interested in money. No, it doesn't say that. It says, tell them, don't be prideful. Don't set their hopes to uncertainty of riches, because your car will rust, your stock portfolio will go down and correct. Your clothes will get ripped. It's uncertain. But set your hopes on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Isn't this a freeing attitude that God has? Of course, we always think that somebody else is rich. I'm not rich. Whatever money you have or don't have, this still applies to you. God blesses us with things to enjoy them. And we can't enjoy things if we have no margin and we're just on the edge. And this is where it is. We have no margin. Recently, I ran across a statistic from GoBankingRates.com. It says this. GoBankingRates asked more than 7,000 people to see if American savings rates have improved in the last year. Because the economy's been improving, so savings rates should be improving, right? Well, results are even more surprising. The percentage of Americans with less than $1,000 in savings has jumped to 69%. So 70% of all Americans have less than $1,000 in savings. Here's the exact pie chart and how it breaks down. That means that 70% of Americans, if you drive a car, you are stressed that you're going to get a Geico bill. This means 70% of Americans, if you start to feel something weird in your car, you have instantaneous stress because you can't fix it. This means 70% of all Americans can't take a vacation without going into credit card debt. This means we have no margin, and we probably don't have a strategy. You might think, well, that's because we're not making enough money. Actually, the statistics are pretty interesting. Of all people who are in crisis financially, only 1 out of 5 is under the poverty line. Only 1 out of 5 people who are in crisis financially are set at $40,000. Only 1 out of 5. So if we want to create margin, we can set a strategy, and number two, we can increase inflow. We're going to talk about cost-saving tips in a moment, maybe, and normally when there's a financial thing that you're trying to kind of get more margin, it's like, don't spend. Before we get there, you need to understand that the first and most fun option is to increase your inflow. Increase Your inflow.
Now, I know this plan is foolproof. Check this out. First of all, you and me start working at the bank. Doesn't matter the position, okay? Just so long as we get in there, right? Then we just go there every day, do the work, gain their trust until we get them in the palm of our hand.
All right. That's how we get the money.
That's the beauty of it, bro. They deposit the money into our bank accounts. Week after week, month after month, they not even gonna know they being robbed. And then 20, 30 years later, we walk out the front door like nothing even happened.
That's called a job!
That's good stuff right there. That's good. What's a job? A job is inflow. If you only have so much margin, okay, you can cut back on things, yes, and you can, or you can also increase the amount of money that's coming into your accounts. This may be harder, this is harder said than done, but I at least want to start with this because I find that many people who are in churches feel like earning more money is unspiritual, or wanting more money is unspiritual, or somehow thinking that strategizing how to get more money is somehow ungodly. I don't know where we get this idea. This is nowhere from Jesus. This is nowhere in the Bible at all. Rabbi Daniel Lappin, who wrote a book, a great book called Thou Shalt Prosper, he says this: increasing numbers of Americans view wealth not as the morally legitimate rewards of risk, innovation, and effort, but as unjust and morally suspect outcome. Hey, you just need to understand, if you're having a hard time financially, it's okay for you to figure out a way to earn more money. You're not less than or an unspiritual person. Jesus gives example after example of how to do that and why that's important. One of the ways that I have a couple ways I have inflow, increased inflow beyond the generous paychecks I get from Crossroads. Thank you for that. Beyond that, I get people ask me to speak outside of Crossroads. And when someone asks me to do that, some organization, some group, I pray about that. And you know what I pray? I pray, God, if there's a, should I say no to this? Should I say no? My default is whenever I have the opportunity to speak outside to do it, not just because I want to help them, but 90% of the time when I speak, someone's going to give me a check. I want a check. I want to increase my inflow. So God has to tell me to not do that. It's not like, okay, this could be ugly. Someone might give me a check. God, do you want me to have a check? No, my default is, hey, God wants to increase my inflow. And sometimes I do pray about it. It's like, nah, you're only doing this for the money, or no, this isn't. And you say, no, but my default is God wants to increase the inflow, so I want that to happen. I have another source of inflow. I've got, I'm big into motorcycles, as you may know, and I've got my main bike I ride. It's got a design flaw on it. People have been having a part of their bike get broken, and people have been complaining about it on the blogosphere and out in the web, and I decided to do something about it. I invented a part that clamps over this part that is suspect. And I've sold a lot of these just in the last few months since it's been on the market. I've increased my inflow by thousands of dollars by just doing a part that people need and they just find out about me. And I had two emails this morning. It's awesome. Two emails, made some more money just this morning. It's great. You may not be able to do that. I don't know what you can do. I don't know what another job, an idea, a writing. I have no idea. And maybe you can't. Honestly, friends, I'm not putting something on you. I'm not trying to stress you out and have you go, oh, great, now I got to go work more. Maybe you don't have to do this. I said you don't have to do all these things. It's just one of the things. I just want to unlock your mind and see it's okay to figure out a way to earn more money. That might be part of the thing for you. Number three, set your finish line. Set your finish line. Do you know how much money is enough? Do you know how much money is enough in savings? Do you know how much money is, do you know what kind of car is good enough for you? Do you know what kind of, well, whatever it is, I find that the car culture tells us that you never have enough, you will never have enough, so we're on the treadmill, we're constantly going, there's a line, and you can cross your finish line, you can stop. doesn't mean you don't keep getting more money coming in, but it means your spending rate or your savings rate or your upgrade rate changes. Very few people ever think you're done. You can be done financially. Lib and I crossed our finish line on houses 15 years ago. We've been in our last house for 15 years. I have a lot more inflow right now than I did 15 years ago. Could afford something totally different, but no need to. It's a nice house, a great house. We passed our finish line. The cars that we've had, we passed our finish line cars. They don't last your whole life, right? But the quality and category of the cars that we buy, we crossed our finish line. When they wear out, we get new cars. And we go back to the same standard we had before. We're not like incessantly wanting to increase our finish line. Our savings rate, the amount, the percentage that we want to put into like a retirement account, that percentage is static. Hit our finish line. Great. We don't need to increase our percentage there. Do you know what it is that is your finish line? I have a friend of mine who's a financial consultant. He says, man, I said, Brian, I consult with people's finances, whether they're millionaires or people who are, middle class or lower middle class. And he says, one thing everyone has in common, everyone spends to zero. Everyone just spends to zero. And it's like money, when new money comes in, it's like money is like water going in a frying pan. The water hits the frying pan, it's like the steam goes up and it's gone. This is what happens if we don't have a strategy and we don't have a specific way it says, hey, when I have enough, I have enough. Doesn't mean I don't keep receiving more, but I'm not going to be enslaved to getting more and more. And oh, no, I'm not feeling good about myself unless I have more money in the bank. Oh, I need a higher return. No, set your finish line and know that it's good. Number four, contract paranoidius upgradius. This is a great disease. It's a very rare disease. Like, no one has this disease. But I have it, and I like this disease. Paranoidius upgradius. It's when you are paranoid about upgrading. We need to get to a place where when all of culture, all of the marketplace in America is telling you, you always have to have the latest iPhone, you always have to have the latest fashion, you always have to have the latest gizmo. You just go, no, I just get paranoid about that. I'm paranoid that if I keep doing that, then something is not going to be able to take an advantage. I'm not going to have the money to do something else I actually want to do. As I said, upgrading houses, not upgrading the standard of living where we are. Have paranoidius upgradius. Hebrews 13:5 says this, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you. God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God will never leave you or forsake you, but your current fashion will leave you and forsake you. God will never leave you or forsake you, but your car will leave you because the transmission will break and it will rust out. God will never leave you and forsake you, but your technology that you have will get out of vogue. See, these things that we upgrade to, they never last. It's like a never-ending treadmill, but God will always last forever. You and I don't need the latest thing. We don't. You're like, oh man, I only got an iPhone 6. I need a 6S. Or I don't know. Do they even have a 7 right now? I don't know. I need a 7. I know people who still have an iPhone 5. Oh, it's crazy, man. I'm telling you. I know one person who has an iPhone 4, or iPhone 4, I mean. He still has an iPhone 4. It can happen. You have right there. It can happen. It can. The cultural stream keeps telling us you need more and you need more and you need more. Now, we do upgrade. Lib and I do upgrade. And when we do, it feels odd because we have this disease. And it's good. I like that. So I'll give you an example of a couple upgrades. We've done upgrades in our cars in the last couple years. I have a Chevy truck. I had a Chevy truck before, but I found I was pulling and hauling things that had more weight to them. And I was putting a strain on my drivetrain, so I probably would have been okay with what it was, but I decided to upgrade to a higher capacity truck. Felt very, very odd for me to do that. Also felt odd because it's the first car I've had or Lib and I had for years and years and years that we haven't donated to the CARS ministry at Crossroads. In case you don't know about it, for folks who have enough financial margin, when we get a new car, if we've got enough financial margin, we don't need the full trade-in or sales value of our old car. You can donate to Crossroads. You get a tax write-off for that. And then in Crossroads' strategic plan, we have allocated a budget line item for car parts. And we have volunteers who donate their labor, and they put the parts into cars and then pre-screen people who are part of our community who are having a hard time financially and can't get to work to increase their inflow. We give them a car. And we, this last week, I think it was our 735th car we've given away this past week. Isn't that cool? 735 cars. But in order for me to get the new truck, I couldn't afford that. So for the first time in a long time, I was like, I had to sell it on Craigslist. And the same thing that happened with Lib's car. The car she had was a Nissan Maxima. We bought it 95,000 miles a couple years ago. And from day one, it's been awful. Like, the transmission went out on it 3 weeks after we bought it. Like, then what do you got to do? You have to fix the transmission, right? Even if you want to sell the car, you still have to fix the transmission before you sell it. And then you're like, all that money in the car, and you're like, well, I may as well keep on to it. Hopefully that investment pays out. And then a few months later, like, the real bearings go out. They're on, like, oh, they got me again. And so you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to put it up. So this kept happening. I kept putting in large, large amounts of money. So the last time it happened, it was like a $1,200 bill on this thing. So we bought it, we put it in, and then I realized, like, 2 weeks later, like, honey, I have no emotional margin. Every time you call, I'm afraid you're going to tell me you're broken down the side of the road. Let's sell this car and upgrade and get you a newer car. I bought her a Toyota. It's newer, all that kind of, it's wonderful. But like, there again, on that one, we had to sell that one in Craigslist so we had the money to do what we needed to do. It was very awkward for us to not give our previous car away and to upgrade. So you can upgrade. There's nothing wrong with upgrading. Unless you're Bill Gates, though, you just got to be paranoid about it. Just got to be really, really paranoid about it. Contract paranoidus upgradius. Number five, embrace your thang. Thing, not that. No, embrace your thing. What do I mean by thing? I mean, here's the thing. You can spend money. I'm going to encourage you right now to spend money. Most of the times, financial talk, oh, don't spend, put it in. No, I want to encourage you to spend money. I just want to encourage you to know what your thing is that you spend money on. Not like mortgage or this or gas. Of course, we got to spend on those things, but what is your thing? What is the thing that you know, this is where I have fun spending money. This is the thing, when I spend money here, then it pays off because I just have fun. I have like an emotional charge. What's your thing? My thing is motorcycles and camping. I get on my motorcycle and I go and I camp. And I spend a lot of money on motorcycle parts, motorcycle experiences, tents. Well, I don't buy 10 all the time, but whatever it is, some little gizmo guru thing for I spend a lot on that. And then there's other things that you spend money on that I just don't spend money on because it's not my thing. But I spend a lot of money there. Lib and I, the last couple months, we've seen more movies in the last few months than we have in the last several years. Why? Because we're empty nesters. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Oh, get those little rugrats and those little money holes out of the house. It's awesome. Money holes, money pits, I meant to say. We would see, since we've been married, maybe one or two movies at a theater a year. It costs a lot of money. Couldn't afford that. Now we're seeing like two movies a month. We have the margin to do it. But we couldn't do the thing that we wanted to do and see a bunch of movies. Now, maybe you want to see a bunch of movies. Maybe you want to see two a weekend, and that's your thing. Okay. Maybe your thing is Starbucks every day on going into work and start pulling in and getting that $8 caramel latte up your butte thing, whatever the thing is, and you got this massive Starbucks. Maybe that's your thing. Okay? Maybe your thing is clothes. And you just enjoy kind of feeling trim and feeling fit and going to a big social occasion and always having something new, and you enjoy that. Maybe that's your thing. Maybe your thing is vacations, and you've got a whole list of bucket lists of places where, and you spend a lot. Maybe that's your thing. Okay, but here's the thing. You can't have an expensive hobby and go to Starbucks and have great vacations and upgrade your wardrobe and have the coolest latest shoes and go to concerts and go to movies and go. We can't do those things. Very few of us can. You just figure out what your thing is, and you'll find you have amazing freedom that comes out of it. Now, my parents, I rebelled against my parents in a huge way. My parents were, it's normal for us to rebel against our parents, right? So they have counsel, and we want to go the other way. My parents were always like, save your money, save your money. I'd get something from my paper delivery route or Hardee's where I would work, and they'd say, save your money, you're saving your money, right? You're saving your money, right? They never told me how to or why to. So I sort of rebelled against that, and I just would always spend all my money. So I'm not going to save my money. What they didn't tell me, is that savings is just deferred spending. I always thought money comes in and it goes here, and who knows whatever happens. No, savings is putting money aside so you can spend more money later. That's pretty cool. Savings is not supposed to be this thing that boosts your ego. You now have more digits in the bank. And so now I feel better about myself or smarter. I have more, it's supposed to be things you know you're going to spend money on, and then you're waiting to spend money on them. If you're in corporate America, you're going to be pushed out earlier than you want to. And so you're going to have savings because your Social Security isn't going to work only for your lifestyle probably. If you have a car, your car is going to get broken and you're going to need to buy a new car, and your savings is deferred spending. If you know that you get stressed out, my gosh, you need to get away from your current environment and have vacations. You need to get away and clear the money. You're going to spend that money, so you need to put money in savings so you can spend. Maybe you have some other dream or bucket list things for this or that. All I'm saying is you have to have a strategy that enables you to defer spending and have God be your treasure, but not savings be your treasure. Jesus says in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So our treasure shouldn't be in my car or in my job or my bank. My treasure should be in Jesus. And that's where my heart is. And when I get my heart to him, he wants me to have the space and margin to have an effective life. But if I'm going over those things first and I'm comparing what I own or what I have to other people, I'm going to be in a losing game. Number six, only incurred investment debt. Only incur investment debt. A lot of finance, and you might hear some smart and very spiritually sound people who will differ with me on this. That's fine. I'm happy to be wrong on anything I say here today. I'm just trying to give you something that's worked for us. Only incur investment debt. Some people are like, oh, never debt, never, ever. I don't believe in never debt. I don't believe in that. I think that if you take debt on an appreciable asset like your mortgage, a house, that's fine. Entrepreneurs take on debt all the time. It's called investment. That's paying somebody for quite some time. God told the nation of Israel, I want you to get to a place where you're loaning money out and people are making interest payments to you. If debt was always evil, then God wouldn't have told the nation of Israel, it's okay for you to loan money out. Crossroads has a mortgage. We have a mortgage. It's in some ways, it's like an investment. We're investing in people when we have a mortgage and increase our mortgage. Not because we want to be able to pay for coffee because we don't have the cash to pay for coffee, but if we want to get a building that invests in lives and gets more people as a part of our church and then also increases our giving base, that's the kind of mortgage that we're comfortable with here at our church. You might want to do college debt if you're younger and your parents have not been able to save for you and you have a desire to make a lot of money. Statistics are pretty clear. If you go to college, you will make more money. And if you don't have the money to go to college, having an appropriate level of student debt can be advantageous for your financial future. Now, should you go to a private school of $50,000, $70,000 that has all the nice, cool landscaping, or a state school that's $25,000? Tell you what, those people coming out, you will make the same amount of money here as you will here 99 times out of 100. It's not a good investment. Do not saddle yourself with six figures of college debt from a private university that will not pay out. Now, if your parents save, maybe your parents' thing is education. And maybe they like the sticker on the back of the window that displays how much money they've spent for your education. Just like makes them feel, you know. So honestly, seriously, For some parents, they just geek out on education. They geek out. That 1% means a lot to them. And so they're up for saving, make a lot of money and saving massive amounts of money to put their kids. That's fine. That could be their thing. But if you're going to take on that debt, that will not pay out. Be very, very, very careful about that. I did something that was very odd for me. Last year, the bike I ride, I bought it new. And I first time I took out a loan for something for 28 years. 0.9% loan. And I had the cash to buy it. And I could get 2% in a savings vehicle that I have. So it's like 2%, 9%, I'll make the 1.1%. Now that's very, you got to be very careful with this because you can always justify anything you want, but I'm just trying to display for you, I'm not paranoid about debt. I am saying, though, that when you have credit card debt, it's never investment debt. It's bad strategy debt. It's poor inflow debt. It's poor whatever debt. Be very, very cautious with that. I used to be really down on all car loans. You say, never get a car loan, never, never. I don't feel that way anymore. I never got a car loan because I can fix the car or I have the margin to pay somebody else. And I tell somebody when they fix it, when they tell me, well, your planetary gear has gone bad, I know what a planetary gear is and I know how much that should cost. And I'm like, okay, I never feel like I'm taking advantage of it. And I have friends and family who live close by who can take me to and from the car place. You may not have that. You may be freaked out about engines and you don't understand when you're getting ripped off or if somebody's being truth with you and you don't have a network that can drive you someplace while it's in the shop for 3 days. So maybe for you, it's an emotional investment, an emotional investment in your well-being to have an affordable car payment that just takes the stress out. Not a seven-year thing, that's ridiculous, but something that just gets you over the edge and gives you reliable transportation so you can work on your inflow. You have to decide what it is for yourself, but just think about in your own mind, is this an investment or is this just the easy way out for me to have a cool, shiny thing? Number 7, helpful so far? Helpful so far? You're very silent. You're very like, you look at me like, I don't know if you're disagreeing with me or if this is boring or if you're uncomfortable. I don't know why we don't talk about money. I don't. We talk about our sex life. We talk about our dreams and aspirations. We talk about all. But when it comes to money, it's like, can't talk about it. And that's exactly why we have a hard time, which is point number 7. Recruit trustees. Recruit people who will enter your life and give you ideas, who you can run your strategy by, who you can run things by. Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, plans fail. But with many advisors, they succeed. Our plans fail, our financial desires fail because we don't have anybody else speaking into it. And I want to include people in my life. Before I make a big decision, I run it by my friends. Say, hey, I'm thinking about buying this, it costs this much. What do you think? That bike I bought, I was like, man, should I get this demo model or this other model? How much, you know, I've talked to my buddy Art about it. And what happens is, if you have as a principal, I am not going to make a major purchase before I talk to my counselors. You'll find as you go to your counselors, more often than not, they're going to say yes because people like to encourage whatever you want to do. But just the fear that you might be rejected and they say no will keep you from actually taking the idea before them and actually doing it. I'm telling you, private things never work. We have a sex series at Crossroads. The people who need it the most, the married couples who aren't having any sex, are the first ones to leave, and they're the first ones who should stay. When it comes to financial stuff, we start having this, the first ones to zone out are folks who have the financial issues, and we should be the first ones to open up about stuff. I just want to encourage you, find someone to trust and talk to. Financial peace will help you with that. Someone will be there for it. Last one is start momentum now. Start momentum right now. I'll tell you what could happen right now. You could leave here and you could talk to the person you came in here and you could say, man, hey, that was some good stuff I learned today. That was really good. But if nothing happens, nothing good took place here today. This was not like interesting ideas to ruminate on. This is something to do. If you don't do something coming out of here, you will not be in a better place financially. You have to do something. So I'm going to tell you right now, start momentum. Do something today. Because the crushing momentum of American culture, there's so much momentum that's pushing us back, making us consumers. Actually, we're not even known as American civilians any longer. We're American citizens. We're American consumers. That's who we are. It's like our value of our country is just how much I'm spending. What's the consumer price index? And how's that? And so all of America is encouraging us to spend and pushing us back, crushing us under the unrealistic expectations of what we should own and what we should do. And you're going to have to start pushing back on that. And to do that, you need to start creating momentum by doing something today. You can do something today. You today, you can go down in your basement today and you could find crap that you don't want but someone else wants and you can sell it on eBay and get some inflow. Today, you could do that. Today, you could cancel Netflix or Amazon Prime. Today, you could. Today, you could cancel HBO or downgrade your cable. You could do that today. Today, you could apply for some supplemental income with something you see at monster.com or in the paper. You could do that today. Today, you can make the decision that next week I'm going to buy all black coffee at Starbucks except instead of my latte thing. Today, you can make the decision to sell your car today and buy a cheaper one and pocket $4,000 right now. You could do that today. In fact, I don't know why a specific number just came to my mind. There's someone here that number is significant for, $4,000. I don't know who you are, but there's something about that one. It happens to be very, boom. I want to pray for you down here afterwards. If that's you, if that number 4,000 means something to you, I'd like to pray for you down here. But whatever it is, do something today. Lamentations 3:22. Last thing I'll say. As we start getting momentum, we can add different disciplines. Today, make a note to tell your employer, suck a certain amount out of my paycheck and stick it over in this savings account that I can't get to and I can't see. You could do that today. We're going to close the song that our music folks wrote this song a number of years ago. It's a great song. It's a great way to end. It comes from Lamentations 3:22. Why don't we stand for the reading and the singing right now? Lamentations 3:22. It says this: "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord's my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. Starbucks isn't my portion, Apple stock isn't my portion, iPhones aren't my portion. All those things will come to an end, but the steadfast love of God will not come to an end. He will not roll us over. God, give us more of yourself, more awareness of your love. We thank you that you're so steadfast, and we thank you that you are helping your people today. Amen."
Great to be together this weekend. Next weekend's going to be great, so you're not going to want to miss it. But right now, go to crossroads.net/connect, hit get started, and add yourself to the map. Start searching for people you can connect with, and consider being a host of weekend gatherings in the future. Have a great week.